Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, May 23rd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Some Zimbabweans say President Robert Mugabe should step down in order to have time with his newly born grandson and other family members.
He should quit now. He must have to go home and relax with his grandchildren.
Some Zimbabwean business people claim that they are being forced to fund ZANU-PF's Million Men March set for Wednesday.
Some ruling party youths have been moving around the city, forcing us to donate money to fund them to go to Harare for the 1 Million Men March.
Zimbabwe's cash crisis continues, with long queues becoming the order of the day.
And doctors say there's a marked increase in the number of stroke cases in Zimbabwe.
I suffered hemorrhagic stroke in January this year. Since then, my life has changed in many ways. I need to see many different specialists every week for different therapies, including speech.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Some business people in Masvingo claim that they are being forced by members of the ZANU-PF Youth League to donate money for funding the so-called Million Men March set for Wednesday to show solidarity for 92-year-old President Robert Mugabe. The youth say they want to show the world that there is only one center of power in ZANU-PF, currently hit by factionalism with rival groups, one allegedly led by First Lady Grace Mugabe, fighting for the succession of the Zimbabwean leader who has ruled the country for 36 years. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports from Masvingo.
Business people who spoke to Studio 7 said they were not amused about the ZANU-PF youth who have been moving around the city demanding donations in cash and kind, while threatening to take unspecified action against those that are not willing to part with their hard-earned money. Mr. Leonard Jari is one of them.
Some ruling party youths have been moving around the city, forcing us to donate money to fund them to go to Harare for the 1 Million Men March. But the problem is that when we tried to explain that our business is not viable these days, they started threatening us, saying we are anti-ZANU-PF and President Robert Gabriel Mugabe.
A local supermarket owner who declined to be named said he made the donations out of fear that he could be harmed by his ZANU-PF Youth League members.
Currently, the economic hardship is actually facing anyone else, and the businesses are not viable. So when the youth are moving around, we don't know. The elections are around the corner. You will find out that we'll be in the election mood very soon. So we'll be fearing for our lives and our businesses. So when we donate, it's not really from the heart. It's an issue where you say, what can I do? What else? So they know that things are not well. I'm hardly getting money for salaries and I cannot even do some orders. But people come in and say they want money. I had no option but to just give them.
Another businessman who preferred to be identified only as Black Giza in fear of being victimized said it was painful that they were being forced to fund the Million Men March for a person believed to be responsible for allegedly running down the country.
I'm really surprised with what is going on right now, because these are the very people who are running down the economy, and at the same time they are asking something from us as business people. And the problem with them is they don't even care whether you belong to their party or not. They just need money. But as we look at it right now, the economy is not favorable to anyone. We are actually suffering. We are trying to make ends meet, but then money is not anywhere to be found. We don't know the exact repercussions of all those things.
Some of the business people have been forced to pay up to $2,000 each for the Million Men March. A local youth league member of the ruling party, Talent Chiwange, who is mobilizing youth for the event, claimed that ZANU-PF is not forcing anyone to fork out varying amounts of money, as donors were mostly President Robert Mugabe's sympathizers.
Those people are misinformed. Those people are not telling the truth. No one is being forced The Million Men March thrust is to show solidarity with our president, our iconic and revolutionary leader, President Robert Gabriel Mugabe, who has been at the helm of this country and has actually done a lot in terms of empowering his people. And that is what we are showing solidarity with. And as young people, we're actually saying, Viva Comrade R.G. Mugabe, we want to move forward with you. We want your iconic leadership to actually reign in on us and the legacy to be with us as young people as well as we move forward.
The money raised in Mashingo will be used for hiring buses to ferry youth to the Million Men March in Zimbabwe's capital city, being boycotted by a faction of the ruling party said to be led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa and backed by war veterans of the 1970s. Mnangagwa, like First Lady Grace Mugabe, are said to be harboring presidential ambitions, a claim they have repeatedly dismissed as wishful thinking. Some Zimbabweans say the march is a waste of time in the Southern African nation that is currently facing serious social, economic and political problems. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
Zimbabwe's cash crisis is worsening with long queues becoming the order of the day. The situation has been worsened by some commercial banks which have decided to cut down automated teller machine withdrawals. Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe says the cash crisis appears to have been fueled by panic withdrawals after the central bank announced recently that it is preparing to introduce bond notes that it says is expected to boost exports. Chitambara says the cash shortages are also affecting businesses that need to transfer money to other countries to pay for goods and services. He tells Studio 7's reporter Jonga Kandemiri that this problem requires drastic measures to fix.
The situation on the ground seems to be going from bad to worse. A number of banks have actually imposed withdrawal limits actually on ATM withdrawals of, in some cases, $100, $200 or $300. So I think that just goes to reflect the palace state of the liquidity situation. So yes, things are not very good. And I think it's exacerbated by the announcement by government to introduce bond notes, which has eroded confidence within the banking system.
We understand that it is also affecting international money transfers and also mobile banking. How serious is this problem?
It's actually very, very serious, because even for businesses or individuals that are trying to transfer monies outside the country for payments, I think it's even taking an inordinately huge amount of time. So I think that also is a reflection of the liquidity situation. But as I said, I think the major problem is to do with, number one, a lack of confidence has affected deposits within the banking system. And also, we are also witnessing a mini banking crisis manifesting through what we call a bank run. I think a number of depositors are withdrawing their monies from the banking system. So I think that has really affected the entire banking system in Zimbabwe. That has actually exacerbated the liquidity situation. Also, government revenues for the first quarter, actually, they declined quite significantly.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow as we discuss the Million Man March expected to be held on Wednesday in Harare.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Some Zimbabweans have called on President Robert Mugabe to step down so that he can have quality time with his family following the birth of his first grandson. Reporter Thomas Chiripasi spoke to some people in the streets of Harare and filed this report.
President Robert Mugabe at the weekend had his first sight on his grandson, Simbanashe Chikore, in Singapore, sired by his daughter Bona and son-in-law Simba Chikore last month. Some Zimbabweans said they had nothing to do with Simbanashe as they are struggling to make ends meet due to the current economic crisis in the country. Some of them, instead, urged the president to step down to allow a new crop of leaders to run the country and revitalize the economy. One such resident is Glenview resident Fabian Gwaunza, who says this would give Mr. Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe since independence in 1980, ample time to be with his family, including Simbanashe.
He should quit now. He must have to go home and relax with his grandchildren.
This was echoed by MDCT member Shakespeare Mukoi, noting that it is unlikely that the president will relinquish power only to be with his grandson and other family members.
If the family is extended, so that will entice him to have more terms in office so that he can keep his family. We don't expect him to retire or resign for any reason.
Mukoi's sentiments were also supported by Highfield resident Rutendo Shambare.
I don't think Mugabe will leave the office now because he's enjoying the dictatorship. So I don't think he will leave the office because he's now a grandfather.
Another Harare resident, Francis Machimpidzofa, said the birth of Bona's son would not change Zimbabwe's political misfortunes, adding that there were more pressing bread and butter issues affecting Zimbabweans than to focus on Mr. Mugabe's grandson. But two ZANU-PF activists who refused to have their voices recorded said they are happy that the Mugabes have an additional member of the family. Some people have even questioned whether Simbanashe is a Zimbabwean following his birth outside Zimbabwe. Chapter 3, Section 36, Subsection 2 of Zimbabwe's Constitution stipulates that persons born outside Zimbabwe are Zimbabwean citizens by birth if, when they were born, either of their parents was a Zimbabwean citizen and ordinarily resident in Zimbabwe or working outside Zimbabwe for the state or any international organization. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. We reached ZANU-PF activist Effort Nkomo, who had this to say about Mr. Mugabe's grandson.
From my personal view and from my heart, congratulations are in order. I appreciate and congratulate what the president has in the form of a grandson. We wish many more of the grandsons.
But there are some who are saying that the president should actually step down. They are claiming that he has ruined the economy and have nothing to do with his grandson. So what can you say about that?
Well, I'm saying in our culture, everything is a blessing. And in so saying that, we hope that in admiring and wishing him well and receiving the grandson, that could be a sign of him working towards reviving our economy.
How is that going to work?
As a son of a minister, I must be honest to tell you that miracles happen in this world. What he is doing and what he is receiving could be symptoms of good things to happen in this country.
That was Effort Nkomo, a ZANU-PF activist, speaking there with Studio 7 Skips Dube from Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
Zimbabwe is a nation traumatized by years of violence and in need of healing. That from rights activist Zikamai Bere, one of the 60 Zimbabwe youth participating in the Mandela Washington Fellowship this year. Bere, who works with the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum to push transitional justice, says the government needs to empower the Reconciliation Commission so it can do its job effectively. Bere, a former magistrate who undergoes 6 weeks of training in civic leadership at the University of California, starting mid-June. He talks to reporter Ntunga Milinkomo.
This is a very humbling and quite exciting opportunity to get a chance to join young people from all over Africa and to develop our skills on how we can carry our continent forward. So it's a very exciting opportunity for me, and at the same time also a very humbling recognition.
Give us an overview, Mr. Bere, of human rights in the country at the moment.
Currently, the situation from the way that I'm working on issues of national healing. And you probably know that a few weeks ago, the parliament took to the communities to obtain people's views regarding national peace and reconciliation deals. And what those outreach meetings have proven is that Zimbabwe is a country that is still in bitterness. People are still suffering. Violence is ongoing. Threats and intimidation are ongoing. You will know that Pastor Ivan Mawarire has recently reported that he received a death threat. And you know that there was a demonstration by the Movement for Democratic Change. And Honorable Jesima Jeme reported a death threat. You will also know that Dr. Patson Zamara was once arrested and tortured by state agents recently, and Itai Damara is still missing. And there is that kind of bitterness and yearning to say, please, we need healing, we need justice, and we need reconciliation.
How do you hope to benefit from the Mandela Washington Fellowship?
I find this as an opportunity to step back from the battlefield, reflect a bit, and reskill and acquire new skills, because our work is reaching a new level. There was a time when we were just doing advocates, calling for things, for laws, for reforms. And now our advocacy is now at that level where we are proffering alternatives in terms of policy reforms, the actual laws that can actually promote justice, healing, and reconciliation. So this is a great opportunity.
Sikamai Bere is a Mandela Washington Fellow and human rights activist working with Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum. He was speaking with the Studio 7 reporter Ntunga Milinkomo.
And now let's take a look at regional and international news. U.S. President Barack Obama says the death of Taliban chief Mullah Akhtar Mansour removed the leader of an organization that has continued to plot against and unleash attacks on American and coalition forces.
With 2 weeks left before the last big votes in the Democratic presidential nomination process, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders says former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton jumping the gun a little bit in considering herself the party's nominee.
A protest against Kenya's Electoral Commission took place in three cities today, with local media reporting that police shot and killed at least one demonstrator in the western city of Kisumu.
South Africa's top prosecutor says he will appeal an order from the High Court to reinstate nearly 800 corrupt charges against the president.
And United Nations officials are worried about thousands of families who may be trapped in Fallujah as Iraqi forces start an offensive to retake the city from Islamic State militants.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Doctors in Zimbabwe say there's a marked increase in cases of stroke in the country due to high stress levels fueled by a spike in non-communicable diseases like diabetes and hypertension. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa has more details.
Official statistics indicate that Zimbabwe recorded 592 cases of stroke in 2009, and 2 years later the figure had risen to 1,134. Though the Minister of Health has not released the latest figures, doctors say stroke is affecting a large number of Zimbabweans. Rutendo Bonde, chairperson of the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights, attributes the increase to what she says is a stressful life in the country.
There has been an increase in all non-communicable diseases in Zimbabwe in general, not only strokes. and this is related to the kind of lifestyle which people are now living. We are now living a highly stressful lifestyle where there are a lot of pressures to tighten the belt, to make savings, to make an income, and all those things, they result in people spending less on healthcare, people being unable to afford to come for regular screening. So one of the major causes of stroke is some undiagnosed hypertension.
Bonde says Zimbabwe's health institutions are struggling to rehabilitate stroke patients.
When someone has experienced a stroke, it's not only the event which becomes of concern, it's the rehabilitation afterwards, and that can be for a long period of time. And that's expensive. Who pays for that? And where do patients go? Certainly not in public health, because in public health, people get sent home. Sometimes they don't get admitted once they have a stroke because there aren't any rehabilitation services there for such patients, you know, speech therapy, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, to try to restore the function of the brain. That really shows that there are elements of the right to health which are not being met. The obligation of the state to fulfill the right to health in as far as such patients is not being met, and that in itself is a violation.
Lydia Takawira, who suffered a stroke early this year, says she's now living a miserable life.
I suffered hemorrhagic stroke in January this year. Since then, my life has changed in many ways. I need to see many different specialists every week for different therapies, including speech, muscles, and occupational rehab. I cannot work now, and all we have to rely on is my husband's meager salary for food and treatment and all the needs for rehab. Sometimes I'm skipping sessions because I cannot afford. I've been doing this and paying all that money since January. I will pray that government can come up with a scheme to help us.
According to specialist physician Andrew Mataruse, stroke is affecting all age groups.
Generally, with what we have noted with strokes, which by definition is a loss of function due to loss of blood supply to the brain, particularly these are sort of sudden onset, more of what we are now seeing. Globally, we know that strokes have been defined mainly in Caucasian populations, less so in black populations, because when you look at diabetes, obesity, and everything else, those were much more higher in terms of prevalence in affluent societies or Caucasian societies. But because of the health transition, where our diet has changed over time, we are now recognizing a lot of diabetes, a lot of obesity, a lot of hypertension, which actually goes unrecognized in the population. And this is why we actually see more of strokes. Over the years, when you look at the data that we do have, dating back to the 90s, where Professor Matenga did a population study, in Harare, really, the prevalence was less at that time compared to what we are seeing now. Because of lack of funding, we have not done a community-based study to look at the proper statistics. But what we can only tell you is hospital-based statistics. And the trend seems to be quite on a steep escalation trend, with much more strokes and this now involving younger patients than what we have also sort of traditionally looked at.
Mataruse says the current harsh economic environment in Zimbabwe is worsening the situation.
But I think, again, because we have been having a problem in terms of maintaining our primary healthcare, clinics, for instance. So it means someone, for them to discover that they have hypertension, they have to go and see a doctor. And that trend where the doctor requires an extra payment might be also a challenge because some people might not afford that. So half of our patients, or most of our patients in the community, might be living with undiagnosed hypertension. And that boils down to the health economics, because if you are poor, you're not going to be able to access healthcare. So we do have trends which have affected over the times. The meltdown of the economy does affect in terms of accessibility of healthcare.
It costs up to $100 per session for stroke patients to undergo physiotherapy sessions in private hospitals, as most state health institutions do not have appropriate manpower and proper equipment. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Now we hand you over for a few minutes to Chiwaniso Jani with the youth show Time to Engage.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chiona Sojani, your host on Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today, my guest is Cloud Hakuna, and he's going to be talking to us about his organization and what he does. Hello, Cloud.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being on our show. Now, Cloud, tell me, how is your organization benefiting the youth in Zimbabwe?
Basically, we work with young people, particularly disadvantaged young people, like young people from disadvantaged communities. And we are working in education. We support also orphans and vulnerable children. And we are also doing capacity building, training people in entrepreneurship or financial management skills. And then we also do advocacy in things like sexual reproductive health, gender-based violence or domestic violence. And then we are also working on conscientizing young people on SGDs.
Now, I was reading your name of the organization, CHOSEN. What is it supposed to mean?
CHOSEN, basically, it's an acronym, actually. It's an organization that we started at school at the University of Zimbabwe. And the C stands for children, and then the H is about hope, the O for orphans, the S for service, and then the E for empowerment, and then the N for nutrition, because those are some of the issues that we were hoping to look into.
Tell us the areas that you are focusing right now. Like, are you in the rural areas, in the towns? Where exactly are you?
At the moment, we are in Koromanzi. In Koromanzi, we are specifically working with an orphanage that's called God Help Us Orphanage. At the moment, there's a project in which we want to build some shelter for the kids, because we realize that the kids do not have any shelter. So we are working in partnership with some embassies that are going to support us to do that. And then we also provide them with food items almost every month and any other assistance that they want. That's in Koromanzi. And then we've got a project that we call Education Push Sport. That one is running in Mazowe and Harare. In Harare, it's running in the Marasekwa area, and then the rest of Mazowe district. In this project, basically, we take young people, we put them together, particularly young people who are at school. They are having that particular sporting activity. We then come in and probably teach on sexual reproductive health, or we give them flyers. The idea is to be able to reach out to them, having their attention.
What would you like to tell the youth out there in Zimbabwe?
In spite of all the challenges that we're facing as a country, there is hope, and we need to use whatever little that we have to move forward. But we should be able to help ourselves. We should be able to come together and assist each other in whatever little way that we can.
Thank you for joining us,
thank
Mr. Cloud.
All right, thank you so much.
And that was Cloud Hakuna, Program Director for CHOSEN, joining me today on Time to Engage. And this is Chiona Sojani.
Thanks, Joni. So, and now we go to reporter Michael Cariati on the sports desk.
This follows their goalless home draw against the young Indomitable Lions of Cameroon at the National Sports Stadium yesterday, which put them in a tight position ahead of the return leg in Yaounde in 2 weeks' time. The Young Warriors now need an outright win or a scoring draw in Yaounde, where no Zimbabwean team in all forms of football has won a game since Zimbabwe was admitted to international sport in 1980. In fact, Zimbabwe to thank the heroics of young Ngezi Platinum Stars goalkeeper Nelson Chadjika, who made numerous brilliant saves. Otherwise, the story could have been different. Young Warriors coach Jairus Tapira cried foul over short preparations for his team's mediocre performance before a pathetic crowd, despite the game going for a dollar.
Imagine that we only got 3 days to prepare. And it is not 3 days. There's another one day that we even couldn't be trained because of, you know, some things beyond our control. So actually we trained for 2 days. These guys did 2 months. They had 3-4 international friendlies.
Tapera said he had to use his own transport to look for players, some of whom trained for only 30 minutes, and describes the working conditions as pathetic.
We are working in a situation that you are killing us. You are killing the friends. Everything is pathetic. I can say that. It's pathetic.
However, the young Indomitable Lions coach Cyprian Besong Ashu thinks the job is half done, saying they will finish off the Young Warriors back at home. The goalless draw is not ideal for Zimbabwe, but in football, anything is possible, and the Young Warriors can go to Cameroon and win. Now to Kasolaga Premier Soccer League action. FC Platinum extended their lead at the top of the table to 5 points after a 3-0 hammering of Border Strikers at Mandava Stadium. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Mike.